Not only are there doors that God may not accompany us through, but genuine repentance is the only invitation that will restore the favor of His presence to our life.
This is Straight Talk.
Welcome to Straight Talk Radio. I'm your host, Joshua Halleck. I'm here with Pastor Mark Job from New Life Community Church, and we are in a series called Presence. It's all about the presence of God. Pastor Mark, you've titled this message, I Won't Go Without You, from the story of Moses in Exodus 33. There's a lot of us who finally we say, you know what, I'm going to go live for God. I'm going to go do things for God. And sometimes we get ahead of the presence of God.
You know, a lot of us, if God just decided that He was going to stay back, some of us would not even notice.
Now that is a scary thought.
It is a scary thought. Some of us do ministry and church and a lot of life almost as though, hey, I know what God wants me to do, but we forget about the presence. Sometimes it's all about the destination or mission, and we forget who we're traveling with. And I think this story is really about seeking the hand of God or the presence of God more than just the blessing of God, the face of God more than just the hand of God. And in this story, Moses actually has this confrontation, strong conversation with God, and he says to God, God, I won't go without you.
What do you think was happening? I mean, here's this great leader. He had done a lot of great things. God had done a lot of great things through him. What was going on in his heart, you think, that brought him to that?
I think Moses realized after years of walking with God that he could have the blessing of God, but where the real power is, where the real blessing is the presence of God, that outside of the presence of God, he would be missing. So he could, it's a higher shelf blessing, the presence of God. In your presence, there's fullness of joy. And there's a lot of people that have just moved on ahead because you're pursuing this, you're pursuing that, you're thinking that, you're praying that this will make you happy, that will make you happy, but you've forgotten about the greatest, most powerful blessing on the face of this earth, and that's the reality of the presence of God.
Thank you for that reminder, Pastor Mark. This message is called, I Won't Go Without You, Exodus chapter 33.
Moses has liberated the people of Israel, a million of them, from captivity from the Egyptians. They had been captive for over 400 years as slaves. God appeared to Moses in a burning bush experience and called them to set the Israelites free from captivity. In a dramatic display of God's power, the Israelites, through a series of plagues, were set free from the bondage of the Egyptians. As they left Egypt and plundered them with riches, they escaped, miraculously going through the Red Sea and going into the desert. As they entered into the desert land, God spoke to Moses and he said, I want you to come up to the mountain of God, Mount Sinai. And Moses was on the mountain for 40 days and 40 nights as God spoke to Moses and gave him what we know now as the Ten Commandments, two tablets with 10 vital commandments for the culture of Israel. As Moses came down from the mountain, he heard noise and ruckus and realized that while he was gone, the hearts of the Israelites had turned away from God, that they had wondered, where is God? And they had gone back to their old ways. They had created a golden calf like the gods that they worshipped in Egypt. It was just a short amount of time, but they slipped back after seeing so much deliverance, so many miracles, so much power. It was just a short amount of time that they quickly slipped back to their old style of living. Wow. Isn't that true of us as well? So many times God has done miracles amongst us, answered our prayers, set us free, put us on the path, showed His power. And it just takes 40 days of trial, a couple of bad weekends that you have, And you wake up one day and say, wow, what happened to me? I'm back where I started after God has done so much. See, the nature of our heart is that we slip and slide unless we stay close to God. When Moses saw where the people of Israel had gone, he was angry, and so was God. And chapter 33 of Exodus leads us to this conversation that Moses has with God about their destiny, about their future, about his presence, and about slipping back. And that's where I'm going to pick up on. Because in essence, what Moses tells God, Moses says, God, come with us. And God says, I am ticked at you. I am mad. And I'm not going to go with you, because if I do go with you, my power could consume you. And so I'm going to fulfill my promise. I'm going to lead you to the promised land, but my presence will not go with you. I will take you to the promised land, but my presence will not go with you. And this leads to a whole conversation that Moses has with God about his presence. And so I want to talk to some of you today that you are here sitting in this auditorium. And at one time, you have walked closely and deeply in the presence of God. But somewhere down your journey, you have gone places where the presence of God has not gone. And you are walking and living in a way in which you are not experiencing the presence of God in your life in a real, tangible, close, intimate way like you did at one time. You've lost the sense of his presence. And if you're here today and you want to regain a sense of the presence of God, I want you to hear me, because I believe I have a message for those of you that are here saying, I desire to regain a sense, to restore a sense of the presence of God in my life like at one time I had. Exodus chapter 33. Verse 3. If you're taking notes, I want you to jot this down. Here's four observations about regaining the presence of God. Number one, there are open doors that his presence will not walk through with you. There are doors that God may open that he will refuse to walk through those doors with you, even though those doors open to you. Notice what it says in verse 3. God says to Moses and the people of Israel, go up to the land flowing with milk and honey, but I will not go with you. Because you are a stiff-necked people, and I might destroy you on the way. Notice what God is saying. I'm going to fulfill my promise. Go ahead. I'm going to take you to the promised land, but I am not going to go with you. Sometimes God will open up a door for us that we long for, that we desire. He'll answer a prayer, give us an answer to our prayer, open up a door that we desire and long for, but in the process we lose his presence because of the way we go about going through that door. Oh, I know you've been praying for a husband for a long time. You want a man. Give me a man, Lord. Give me a man. And you've been searching high and low. You've been on every internet site you can find a man. How many of you know they all look good on the internet? When you meet him in person, it's like, whoa, that was 20 years ago. I guess the photo I saw of you. And you've been praying, give me a man, give me a man, give me a man. And it's a good thing to have a man if you're a woman and want to get married. It's not a bad thing. It's a gift, but you want a man. But you know what? Sometimes we all have legitimate desires that we try to fulfill oftentimes in illegitimate ways. Are you tracking with me? The desire can be legitimate, but the way to go about it sometimes is illegitimate. And so the very gift that God has given us, we mess up the way we handle the gift. The gift is not bad, but the way we go about getting the gift can be bad. And so the very answer to our prayer becomes the curse to our life. I want a man, I want a man. You finally found a man. The problem is to keep that man, you go about it all the wrong way, the worldly way, the old way, the way you used to date. And you have a man and he's barely a Christian, barely a believer, but as long as he can grow a mustache, you're happy with him. And so you're happy in the beginning because you have your man, but you've noticed that you go about it the wrong way, the dating the wrong way, the purity the wrong way, the decision the wrong way. And so you have a man, but you lost the presence. And in the beginning, you're happy with the man and barely notice that you've lost the presence. But one day you wake up and you say, hey, I have the man, but where's the presence? I don't feel the presence of God like I did before. I've lost that sense of his communion, him speaking to me, because oh, God could have opened up the door for a man, but it's the way you go about it that you lose the presence. What God was saying to Moses is, I'm going to give you the promise. Go ahead, take the promised land, but I will not go with you because of the condition of your heart. And if I go too close with you, you may experience the judgment. I believe that many of us have taken the gift, but oftentimes we leave behind the gift giver. Many of us have prayed for things that finally we get, but we lose the presence that we really need in our life. And that's exactly what Moses was experiencing. God was saying, go ahead, go without me. He said, because you are a stiff-necked people. Now that's kind of an interesting expression, that God calls them a stiff-necked people. Let me explain what a stiff-necked person is. You see, in the Jewish culture, when you worshiped, oftentimes you would bow or bow your head. So you willingly bow your head. If you're stiff-necked, it means you're stubborn and you're unwilling to bow. You keep your neck straight even though there's pressure to pull you down. You're stiff and you know, once in a while, I come from a culture that's a hugging culture. You know, in Spain, they kiss on both cheeks twice when they meet each other, and people give each other hugs. You know, I'm a hugger. You know, people, that's how I grew up, with a warm culture like that. But once in a while, I'll run into someone that comes from a different culture, that maybe they're a little bit a more formal culture, and I'll just, hey, bro, how you doing? Give them a hug, and I feel the stiffness like this. It's like trying to hug a board.
We'll be right back with Pastor Mark Jobe in a moment. You are listening to a Straight Talk message entitled, I Won't Go Without You, which is from Pastor Mark's series called Presence. After the broadcast, I'll tell you more about how you get a free copy of this message, as well as give you information regarding Pastor Mark's ministry at New Life Community Church in Chicago. Right now, let's get back to Pastor Mark. We're in the book of Exodus, chapter 33. Tonight's Straight Talk is called, I Won't Go Without You.
A stiff neck is of someone that stiffens up. When God calls us a stiff-necked people, it's because we're unwilling to bow out of our own accord, and we get stubborn, and if we do not bow out of our own accord, then God has to break that which will not bow voluntarily. You either bow out of the kindness of God that's drawing you, or you break under the discipline of God since you're not bowing willingly. And God says to the people of Israel, I can't go with you because if I go with you, you're a stiff-necked people, and I will bring judgment on you if I travel too close to you. The second thing I want you to understand about the presence of God is this. Not only are there doors that God may not accompany us through, but genuine repentance is the only invitation that will restore the favor of his presence to our life. If you're here today and you say, Pastor, I've lost that sense of the presence of God. I've lost that sense of walking with him closely. I don't feel God like I used to feel him in my life. I don't hear his voice like at one time I did. I'm not touched during worship deep in my spirit like at one time I was. I'm not on fire in my soul like at one time I felt that fire inside of my soul drawing me to his presence. And When the word of God was preached, I would weep at times because of the grace and the beauty of God that I sense and experience. And when I read the word, he would speak to me, and I knew that the Holy Spirit was nudging me along to things. And I was quick to repent because when I came under conviction, I would confess it immediately, deal with it, because I didn't want to lose the favor and the presence of God. But I don't know what's happened to me, Pastor. I don't feel that sense anymore. I don't have that hunger that I had at one time. I don't know if something's wrong with me or if God has just left me. And I believe that there are periodic times in our life where we have to revisit our heart and our walk with God and ask ourselves, God, am I walking close to you? And the way that the Bible tells us that we renew ourselves in God is usually through the portal of this difficult road, doorway, that's called repentance. Repentance is acknowledging where I went wrong, acknowledging where I strayed away, and feeling grieved enough about it, not because I was caught, not because of the consequences, not because my life is in a bad shape now, but because it so grieves the heart of God that I agree with God about my mistake, about my sin, about my stiff-necked heart before him. And I'm willing to turn away from it and go God's way. That's what repentance is. Now, let me say this about repentance. Oftentimes, we confuse repentance with being sorry. Sorry is something that you say when you slam the door on someone behind you and you didn't see that they were there. But sorry is not something you say to God, because repentance is much more than just being sorry. How many of you are tracking with me here? You see, God says in verse 4, it says, and when the people heard these distressing words, they began to mourn, and no one put on any ornaments. For the Lord had said to Moses, tell the Israelites, you are a stiff-necked people. If I were to go with you even for a moment, I may destroy you. Now take off your ornaments, and I will decide what to do with you. So the Israelites stripped off their ornaments at Mount Horeb. In essence, what the Spirit of God was saying to the people of Israel and Moses is there a moment has come where you have to decide whether you're willing to repent or not. It's a moment, it's a crossroads in which you have to choose. Will you continue to live the way you're living, or will you repent and break and turn to God? The Bible says that the people of Israel began to mourn. Mourning is a sense of sorrow, a sense of grief, a sense of, like you see at a funeral, where people are feeling terrible about something that they've done, or tell about the loss that they've experienced. That's mourning. Now, I want you to be clear about this. Often what we view as repentance is just being sorry that we were caught, or sorry about the consequences of our decisions. Do you know how many men I've had in my office that want to meet with me urgently and will sit down with me and will tell me how sorry they are about where their family is at, and their wife has packed her suitcase and the kids don't want to talk to him anymore, and he'll say, I'm just so sorry. I've been such a fool. I've been such a dummy. I didn't know that what I was losing when I went out and had that affair with that other woman, and I guess I never knew my wife would find out, and I never wanted to hurt her, and I never wanted this to happen to my kids, and I've been a dummy. I'm so sorry. I'm so broken. And oftentimes there's tears that are there. But you know what I wonder? I wonder, are you sorry right now because your wife is leaving you and because your kids are mad at you? Or are you repentant because you've grieved the heart of God and broken the heart of God and broken the vows that you had with your wife? Are you sorry because you got caught? Or are you sorry because you're turning your heart around and you would never do it again? How many of you know there's a difference? To be sorry over our consequences just means if I could do it without getting caught, I would do it again. But since I've got caught, I'm really sorry that I'm going to have to live alone right now. I'm really sorry that my in-laws are going to find out about it. I'm really sorry that my kids think I'm scum right now. I'm really sorry that I brought on all this pain. But are you really sorry that leads to repentance? Listen, real repentance means I agree with God about my sin. I'm broken before it. I know that it's wrong. I'm convicted by it. And whether anybody found out about it or not, I would still turn around from it because I want God's favor and his presence more than anything else in life. I want the favor and the presence of Almighty God. That's repentance. Moses said to the people of Israel, God will not go with us. And God said, take off your ornaments and mourn, and I will decide. What was God deciding? God was deciding how genuine their repentance was. How serious they were about repentance. I believe that the way that the presence of God is ushered back into our lives, if it's been absent for some time, it's not that God leaves us, because God is not a leaver. Oh, I like that. Hey, maybe your dad abandoned you, but God will never forsake or abandon you. God is not a leaver. Or maybe your husband left you, but listen to me. God is not a leaver. No, he's not a leaver. No, he doesn't walk away from you. He doesn't step away. You may step away from him, but he never steps away from you. God doesn't leave you. God pursues you. God chases after you. It may be your actions that push God away, but God is never the one that leaves us. We are the one that leave God. I want to be clear about that. God is not a leaver. But if you have walked into a place and are walking in a way that is pushing the presence of God away from you, because God desires to be with you, God desires to fill you, God desires to manifest his presence in your life. But if you are walking in a way that pushes away the presence of God, the only way to restore the presence of God to your life is through the portal of repentance. It's the doorway of repentance. Every major spiritual awakening that happens in our life, every major spiritual awakening that happens in a church, every major spiritual awakening that happens in a country is always preceded by intense prayer and strong repentance. Recently, I read about an event that took place at the turn of the century, 1904 to 1906. There's a small country called the country of Wales, which is in the United Kingdom, and was mainly a mining country at that time. There was a small group of people that got together to pray, and a young man by the name of Evan Roberts, who was probably no more than 18 or 19 years old at the time. They got together to pray, and Evan Roberts was so convicted about his need for God, so broken about how far away he'd fallen from God, so hungry for the presence of God, that they began to pray and call out to God that God would restore his presence to their life. This prayer meeting, when people walked in this prayer meeting, that went on and on, went through the night and into several days, and news spread that something was happening in this place, and people would visit from different parts. And the presence of God began to show up with such power that people would walk into that place and fall on their knees crying in repentance over their sin and their need and desire for God.
You have been listening to Pastor Mark Jobe's Straight Talk series called Presence. And tonight was the first half of his message called I Won't Go Without You. Join us again for the second half of the message tomorrow. As I mentioned earlier, if you would like to have a copy of this message, you can download it for free with our Straight Talk app. Just log on to PastorMarkJobe.com. That's PastorMarkJobe, J-O-B-E.com. There you will also find other helpful tools that can help you in your walk with God. Please do tell a friend about us as well. If you'd prefer to have a CD of the message, just contact our office at 773-585-3300. That's 773-585-3300. CDs are only $5 plus shipping. If you are looking for a home church, we invite you to check out one of our 25 New Life locations in and around the city of Chicago. Just log on to newlifechicago.org. That's newlifechicago.org. We would love to meet you. And when you come out, let us know that you heard about us from Straight Talk. Well, that's it for Pastor Mark, our Straight Talk team, and myself. Thank you so much for listening. We're glad that you're part of the Straight Talk family. We hope that you have a great night, and please do join us again tomorrow for the second half of I Won't Go Without You. Have a great night. God bless.